Raus aus der Schule, rein ins Berufsleben. Bist du bereit für eine Hammer-Ausbildung oder ein duales Studium? Dann komm zu Straßen-NRW und gestalte die Mobilität von morgen. Gemeinsam mit unserem tollen Team sorgst du dafür, dass Millionen Menschen sicher ans Ziel kommen. Ob Technik, IT, Verwaltung oder Baustelle, bei Straßen-NRW kannst du in unterschiedlichen Bereichen ins Berufsleben starten. Also, worauf wartest du noch? Bewirb dich jetzt bei Straßen-NRW unter straßen.nrw.de/karriere. Wir machen Straßen fürs Leben.
Ich bin Charissa und meine Empfehlung an alle Entrepreneure, startet mit Shopify erfolgreich durch. Ich verwende Shopify schon seit dem ersten Tag und die Plattform macht mir nie Probleme. Ich habe viele Probleme, aber die Plattform ist nie eins davon. Ich habe das Gefühl, dass Shopify ihre Plattform kontinuierlich optimiert. Alles ist super einfach, integrier und verlinkbar. Und die Zeit und das Geld, das ich dadurch spare, kann ich anderweitig investieren. Vor allem in Wachstum.
Jetzt kostenlos testen auf shopify.de.
A few years ago, my little sister was born. It came after a rough period for my family, including a divorce and some other stuff. Even at my young age, I saw how the pregnancy changed things for the better. After years of arguments and screaming and drinking, it was nice to see something positive on the horizon. So, when my little sister came along, I was the happiest I'd been in years. You don't typically see 13-year-old boys racing to change nappies or volunteer to cover a nighttime feeding, but I did. She's 4 years old now. A while back, I started showing her YouTube videos. Mom works hard, and I wanted to free up the telly so she could relax when getting home instead of watching Baby Shark 900 times. And my little sister fell in love with those unboxing videos and toy videos in general. Even when she couldn't really talk much, she'd lie there, eyes fixed on the tablet, watching these weirdos in cheap-looking costumes play with toys. I never liked watching them. They just weirded me out. Partly because I couldn't imagine why an adult would want to sit there and unbox toys for hours on end. And partly because all the outfits and scenes looked cheap and nasty. But lately, I realized I should have paid a lot more attention to what was going on. Our usual routine was that I'd walk her home and set her up to watch the tablet while I played games on the big TV. Our mum would get home sometime around 8 or 9, and that meant I had a few hours to play with my friends while my sister sat up against me on the sofa or floor. She isn't much of a talker, but one day, last week, she started whining and jabbing the tablet in my direction. I took one look at its lifeless screen, and after messing around with different chargers and wires, I realized the battery was knackered. It was a cheap thing, some weird Chinese brand filled with knockoff apps, and I had no idea how to fix it. I knew it wouldn't be very nice of me to make my sister sit and watch me play games, so I quit the console and pulled up the YouTube app on our telly. After that, I was stuck reading a book while those videos played in the background, where they stayed out of my mind for a good 2 hours. At some point, Mum called me and told me she was going to be working past midnight, so I'd have to sort my sister out. That's when I put down my book, rubbed my eyes, and looked at the telly. There was a woman in an off-brand Elsa costume sitting in front of the camera. Most of the shot was taken up by a puffed-up teal ball gown. Well, more of a costume than a gown. She had this weird, cheap foam head on. The hair, eyes and mouth carved out of it and painted haphazardly. It was just big enough to look weird on a normal head. And her slim frame bobbed up and down eagerly as she leaned into the camera to show off the latest toy. It was a stupid little trinket, a cheap plastic ring painted gold with stickers for jewels, held up to the camera and rotated like a prized diamond. My sister watched, her mouth open, as fake Elsa slid the ring onto her finger and mimed the reaction of a blushing bride. There was no sound, except for the hiss of the microphone, and the whole effect was strangely captivating. But things got weird when Elsa sat back, reached back to grab another toy, and I noticed a picture on the wall. It was hard to tell as she moved around, but the more I stared, the more sure I was that I recognized that picture. It was the one on the wall behind me. Curious, I got up and started looking around the video using the remote. The UI in the TV app is limited, but it showed that the video was just one of hundreds in an autoplay queue, all from different makers. This one had just 13 views, but for some reason, the algorithm had added it to our playlist. Looking closer at the channel, I saw that they had 5 other private videos, but no information about themselves. I navigated back to the video and started rewinding. Skipping through the play bar, I found a shot that offered a clear view of the room behind her. I pressed select and saw the undeniable truth. It was our living room. The same sofa we were sitting on, the same carpet, walls, pictures, hell, even the stain on the coffee table was there. Something in my stomach sank. I kept looking around. Comments had been disabled. Upload time was just an hour before. That didn't mean anything, I told myself. How could it? I decided to skip forward to the end of the video. Creepy Elsa was showing off a pair of cheap-looking earrings, her enormous fake foam head staring at the camera with badly painted eyes and a wide smiling mouth. The breathing slit awkwardly placed so that it looked like she was missing a whole row of teeth. Suddenly, she sat back and began to look left to right, her head swinging in delayed movements. A quiet sound became faintly audible, and I turned the telly right up, but it still wasn't clear. As the noise got louder, Elsa leaned in, so close to the camera, her face took up the whole screen, and she placed a finger up to her mouth. "Shh," she whispered, quiet as a mouse. This close, I saw her fingers looking bruised and swollen, the tips stained yellow and thick with calluses. Then the woman reached forward, grabbed the camera and stood up, showing off a sweeping view of the furniture, walls, and even our Christmas tree. Slowly, the camera bobbed as she backed out of the living room and into our hallway, pulling the door shut, but leaving a tiny crack for the camera to see through. Something rotten settled in my stomach as the sound of our front door opening could be heard on the video. One by one, my sister and I entered the shot, eerie giggles faintly playing in the background. Slowly, the door was pulled shut the rest of the way, leaving the video in total darkness and silence before it finally ended. My mouth was open, my heart racing. I looked over to the door she'd closed in the video and felt a special sort of panic. No, I kept telling myself. That's just not possible. That was our living room. That was us. Later that night, our mum found us asleep in the bathroom, where I'd locked us in. At one point, I tried to get us to our bedrooms, but it involved opening that door, and I couldn't do it. It was pitch black in that hallway, and I knew there was a large airing cupboard under the stairs that made for a perfect hiding spot. I couldn't stop imagining that woman still crouched in there, holding her breath and giggling, her creepy head facing me in total darkness. I couldn't do it. So instead, we slept in the bath. My mom went spare, but nothing I said could convince her of what I'd seen. By the time she'd gotten home, the telly had timed out, and no matter how hard I looked on there, or even my phone, I couldn't find that same video. When I explained the whole thing to her, she sat me down on the kitchen bar and asked me if I was doing drugs. I can't even blame her. What I was saying sounded insane. But she was still nice enough to follow me into the hallway, where I made her check every nook and cranny while I stood behind her with a broom in hand. But they were all empty. As far as I could tell, all the windows were still shut, all the doors still locked. There was no sign of an intruder. But I couldn't deny what I'd seen, even if everyone else could. I barely slept that night, clutching a knife in both hands as I shivered in bed with all the lights on. By the following morning, I was close to convincing myself none of it had happened. Right up until I found my sister playing with the same cheap plastic ring straight from that video. I kept asking her where she'd found it, but she kept shaking her head and refusing to tell me. And when I complained to Mum, she made it clear she didn't have time for our, quote, little fight, and soon after, left to go to work. That day passed quickly, if only because I tried hard to act like nothing had happened. But later on, when I sat down with my sister at the end of the day, leaving her to her videos, I found myself going over my phone and trying every search term possible to find the video from the day before. It was infuriating. I knew that video had existed. I knew the channel's name. But nothing I typed showed it up. Not on Google, Reddit, YouTube, or anywhere else. I became so fixated, I didn't look up from my phone for about an hour. And when I eventually did, it was already too late. There she was again. It was like she was looking straight at me through the screen. This time, she looked like Cinderella, though it's all pretty much the same to me. Again, it was all very uncanny. The head was too large, the material looked soft to the touch, the facial features were just deranged enough to make an adult feel uncomfortable. After a moment or two of staring at the camera, she sat back and gestured to a spread laid out across our coffee table. Things were arranged on it in a neat fashion, and the toys looked noticeably less cheap. There were big boxes, some of them with recognizable brands. My sister gushed with excitement as the woman took a toy labeled Bloom Dolls and showed each side of the box to the camera. I knew these toys already. I spent hours trawling Amazon and eBay looking for the best deals. As far as I could tell, there were these pots you watered and a kind of doll popped out. The dolls are random, brightly colored, with cheap expanding foam for hair, and they come with a bunch of accessories. The whole idea of us paying through the nose for what is, essentially, a real-life loot box ticked me off. But those kinds of toys are all the latest trend, and my sister had been going wild for them ever since her friends at school had started getting them. Both my mum and I felt it was important she didn't feel left out, so we'd started saving up early. They were all she talked about for months, an obsession that had come out of nowhere. Over half an hour, the woman unwrapped three Bloom Dolls, poured a tiny bit of water on them, and made grand gestures as each one, slowly, burst through the paper-thin top and bloomed like a real flower. With false excitement, this strange woman gently took each one out and showed every tiny detail of the toy to the camera at each stage of its removal. When it was done, she opened the pot and showed off each accessory, waving her arms or clasping them to her chest with excitement. It all seemed like a normal unboxing video, right up until the last one. It was very quick, something a child or passing adult wouldn't have noticed, but the last pot had a speck of blood on it. And as she pulled the toy out, something fell out of the packaging. It was hard to say at the time, but it looked like a small plastic tube. On a hunch, I got down on my hands and knees by the TV and looked under the cabinet. Like I thought I would, I saw that little thing lying there. After some effort, I fished it out with the remote, and, kneeling up, horror slowly dawned on me. It was a fingertip. An ice-cold piece of meat that had started to wrinkle and dry, feeling like a prune in my hand. I looked up at the TV and saw that creepy foam head filling up the whole screen, her eyes somehow narrower than before. She moaned in a childish voice, before waving a finger at me like I was a naughty child. I don't know why, but something about it freaked me out, and I immediately got up and turned the video off. Before my sister could even start to argue, my mother burst in through the door with plastic bags piled up around her wrist, her voice crying out loudly for me to come help. For a moment, I nearly went to her about the finger in my hand, but I remembered the day before and decided to leave it be. It wasn't until the following day, when I went to school and saw dozens of police around the gate, that I started to really wonder where that finger had come from. Pretty soon, I caught wind of rumors that a family, just a few doors down from my house, had been burgled. The stories about what had happened exactly changed from teller to teller, but they all went through the same rough outline. The family had been attacked, some people had been killed, and a load of toys put away for Christmas were stolen. I barely ate or spoke for the entire day, trying my best to shut out the fleeting whispered rumors. They were over the top and almost definitely exaggerated, but they struck a nerve with me anyway. They were all over the place. Stories of skulls shattered with toy pots, pets shoved into the microwave, children burned alive, and Christmas trees decorated with pulled teeth. I knew how people like to run wild with stories like those, but something about it all made my stomach turn. That night, I did a circuit of the house before entering, and just to double check, I went through the house twice with a baseball bat in one hand and my sister held firmly in the other. Then I brought her in, set her up with some stuff on Netflix, telling her that YouTube was being fixed, and sat down with a laptop. I always remember being told that fear is just a lack of knowledge, so I decided I needed to know more. I started with the channel. I looked for everything, from the channel name to the characters to the toys to the name of the video itself, but there was nothing. It wasn't just that the video was hard to find or obscure, it was that the names of everything involved were also popular. Unboxing videos, Elsa, Cinderella, Bloom Dolls, toys, toy unboxing, and even the channel name itself was incredibly bland things to try and searching for. Every term flooded me with results, and in the end, I stopped looking at those kinds of things and started looking for local news about the burglary. All I found was an article from the Gazette. The cached Google link had some sort of text and headline reading, "Violent burglary has police scratching their heads." Local police have struggled to cope with a recent home invasion where at least 2 adults and 2 children have been found mutilated, all missing their ... But clicking the link just sent me to an edited version of the article, explaining that the police had reached out to the paper and asked them to take down the original article out of respect to the families and in order to keep the ongoing investigation. I tried looking for the cached version of the page, but there was nothing that would load. The best I got was a thumbnail on one website showing a tiny version of the article's old preview image. It was just a Christmas tree, although it looked a little odd to me. It seemed to be speckled with bits of white. I don't know why, but that made me think about all the stories I'd heard through the day. So I searched. Christmas tree decorated with teeth. And that turned up an old copypasta hosted on some crappy forum. It said, "I don't like to talk about my work, since I do crime scene cleanups, and it's something I try hard to forget. I know the police involved never got the guy who did it, and that bothers them to this day. And, at the time, the story never broke big. In some ways, I've always felt like I'm meant to keep this hush-hush, because no one else has ever talked about it. I could easily call it conspiracy, but I remember what I had to go through on that day, and I think that no one involved wants to relive it. There's no conspiracy, not really. It's like the rest of us. Every single one just decided to pretend it didn't happen. But it did happen. We all had to go into this house about a week before Christmas, being told it was all to do with a burglary gone wrong. Except, even I knew that weren't the case. First thing I noticed walking in was the sofa, soaked in pee, blood and crap. Then, I saw the nails on the arms and by the floor, still soaked in blood, with a little bit of flesh snagged on the head. It looks like someone had been nailed into place. The police looked distraught. No one was talking, or joking, or even making notes. The more I looked, the more I realized why. The windows had been nailed shut. The table had been laid and reset multiple times. Plates stacked high in the sink. There was even a slow cooker filled with liquid fat. In the child's room, I found a small crawl space filled with old chocolate wrappers. It stank of urine. But what really messed with me were the long scratch marks on the inner walls. Someone had been hiding in there and dragged out, putting up a fight the whole way. Fighting so hard, they tore nails out and left bloodied bits of skin along the rough-edged wood. But the space was tiny, barely big enough for a toddler to hide in. All around that place was the sense of fear. I couldn't ignore it. None of us could. You know, I heard of a friend in the force that they took some of the Christmas lists on the fridge door and tested them, since they were crumpled and bloodied. And they reckoned those bits of papers had gone through someone's digestive tract multiple times. I was lucky they'd taken the bodies away by the time we got there. It was still rough, though. Blasting away the fat and blood, finding all sorts of messed up stuff. It was everywhere. Sinkholes plugged up with gore. Sockets filled with nails. Hell, one guy even found an intact light bulb stuffed with bloody hair. And that tree. All around it were teeth threaded through with bits of hair, strung around it like a tinsel. And what really got to me was that none of those teeth looked right for the family. You only had to glance to figure out it was all wrong. Four people should equal, what, 100 teeth maybe? But there were thousands on this tree. Some of them very, very old. My friend on the force told me about how only one toy was left under the tree. They traced it to a car boot sale the family had visited a few weeks before, but never found the actual seller. It was one of those Stretch Armstrong toys. You remember those? Yeah, it was one of those. All normal, except when we pulled it open and found a little sealed packet with a strip of skin inside. The police think it was some kind of mark. On a hunch, I went home and started going through the toys I'd bought my kids. I don't know what made me do it, but man, I'm glad I did. It was a Furby, all boxed up and brand new. Bought from a close friend who knew a guy who knew a guy who could get it on discount. And when I shook it, I heard something inside. I opened it up and found a little packet stuffed with greasy hair. When my wife and kids came downstairs, they thought I'd gone mad. My wife especially, since I dragged all these toys out of hiding and into the living room. She was still screaming when I went to throw away the bag. Only right about then, our youngest piped up. She started crying something awful. "But how will they find us, Daddy?" she cried. "They promised they'd find us." "Who?" I asked. "The ladies on the TV." We'd taken to recording daytime TV for her as a bit of a treat, so she could catch up on all the cartoons on the weekend. Thing is, we don't know if we messed up the channel or what, because whatever we recorded didn't look right. It looked like a home video with this goofy-looking mascot dressed up as Snow White. The whole thing freaked me and the wife out, and she didn't even know the worst part. I couldn't bring myself to tell her, or even anyone else. I just made sure we'd all moved out before the end of the week, even if it did end up ruining Christmas. But those shows we taped, they'd been shot in that house. The one I'd spent all week cleaning up. I put down the computer and looked up at the TV. For a moment, I was certain I'd find that big-headed woman looking back at me. But it was just Netflix. I breathed a sigh of relief and sat there for a moment, thinking about the stories. But more than anything, I was thinking about all those toys we'd bought off eBay and third-party Amazon sellers. You know, you see a thing that's odd, but you just dismiss it. A few days back, I had emails off some of those sellers, offering a refund since the delivery hadn't come through. The only thing was, I figured it was a mistake. Every one of those packages had been delivered. So it had to be a mistake. At least, that's what I thought. I ran upstairs, my heart thundering, and tore into the closet in my mother's bedroom. I pulled the boxes out one by one until I found the one of the Bloom doll toys I bought off eBay. They were the ones with the dirtiest boxes, and deep down, I suspected that meant something. I ripped apart the packages and the toys themselves until I finally had one of those dolls in hand. It was a cheap plastic thing, and with a quick and easy snap, it came apart. Inside was a little baggie, all rolled up like a cigarette. I took it out and slowly let it drop open, revealing just a few scraggly bones, the kinds that would come out of an ear, or a child's finger maybe. I knew what I had to do, so I went out into the hallway, only to be stopped dead by the sound of someone whispering. A quick peek over the banister revealed it was my younger sister. She'd gotten up from the telly and was now facing the airing cupboard under the stairs, talking to it like a secretive friend. "No," she whispered, "toy videos won't work. They need fixing." Silence. "I'm sorry," she muttered, like she was speaking to Mom. More silence. "That's not nice. Tricks aren't nice." Again, silence, but this time interrupted by fits of giggles. "Okay," she said, struggling to hold in her laughter. "James, James," she suddenly screamed. "Doorbell." That doorbell hadn't rung. Not knowing what to do, I put one foot down on the step and heard her say, "He's coming now," followed by more secretive giggles. I knew I couldn't go downstairs, but I had to get her away from that cupboard and up to me. I thought quickly on the spot, remembering something she'd never resist, and shouted downstairs, "2 minutes, I'll come down now. I just need to move the neighbor's cat. He got in through the upstairs window again." That worked, and she ran away from the dark cupboard and straight up the stairs, repeating, "Kitty cat," with each footstep, her voice a high-pitched squeal of joy. As soon as she was up, I grabbed her, feeling tears in my eyes. "Were you trying to play a trick on me?" I asked, doing my best to sound friendly. "She said I'd get better toys," my sister said, one finger held firmly between her teeth. "The woman in the videos?" My sister nodded. I remembered I still had that bag in my back pocket, so I walked over to a nearby window, ignoring my sister's questions about the neighbor's cat, and threw it right out the window. I didn't know if it'd work, or what it even meant. I just didn't want it anywhere near us. But my sister was growing antsy. "Where's the cat?" she screamed, a tantrum forming in her voice. "Kitty cat, kitty cat, kitty cat." "Oh, it's ran away," I said, struggling to hold onto her as she started kicking and pushing away. "James," she whined, "I want to see the cat." "It's not in the bedroom anymore," I said. "You've missed it." "I'll look in the garden," she said, eyes wide with excitement. Quickly, she wriggled free and made a beeline for the stairs and disappeared down them, her pink pajamas swallowed by the darkness before I had any time to stop her. I heard her little feet thump down the hallway and into the living room, and I stayed perfectly still, waiting for any follow-up noise. There was none. I knew I couldn't leave her down there. I looked around briefly to see if there was anything I could use as a weapon, but outside of duvets and pillows, there was nothing. From downstairs, I could still hear the shuffling of feet. It could have been anything, but I couldn't stop picturing the things from that story. My heart beat in my chest. My skin felt cold and tight, my head light and dizzy, but I still forced myself to go downstairs, knowing that I had to get my sister. But the stairs were never really the problem. It was the hallway between them and the living room, the one that took me past the airing cupboard, that just a few minutes ago, my sister had been whispering to. The one I'd spent hours imagining that strange woman crouched in, her eyes fixed on me through the walls and shadows. The cupboard door moved. Just an inch, but it definitely moved. Just beyond, just a meter or two past that dark space, was the door to our living room, and I could hear the sound of my little sister walking from window to window, looking for the cat. I needed to get her. I needed to keep her safe. I took a deep breath, braced myself, and ran for it. I never even knew a human body could handle that much fear. Every step made it worse. Every imagined attack made it harder to keep going. And just when I thought I was pushing myself to the very limit of bravery, that cupboard slammed open and a hand grabbed my wrist. It all happened so quickly, but I managed to react anyway. My own hand slapped out, even as my brain registered how cold the hand was, how unbelievably strong the grip was. I tried to pry the fingers away as I fell, but it was pointless. They were like steel. I hit the ground hard, crying out as I landed on my shoulder. I looked up and out of the darkness. Slowly emerging from the cramped cupboard came that strange woman. The skin along her shoulders and chest was discolored and bruised. Her head, a grotesque, misshapen version of Rapunzel. She leered at me, and it made me feel so small, so vulnerable. Her foam head had such an inane look on it, but it just made a fixed glare all the creepier. She unfolded herself from the tiny space like a spider, her legs sliding out of place with a loud, dislocated, arthritic clicks. But she never once let go of me. I kicked and punched and scrammed, momentarily knocking her head back just a little, revealing blistered, bubbling skin around her neck and scalp. But she never let go. No matter how hard I kicked, no matter how many bones I heard crack, she just leaned over, straddling me and pressing her ice-cold body down onto my chest, her puffed-up dress falling so close to my face I could smell how unwashed and filthy it really was. She leaned closer to me, so close I could smell her breath through the slit in the head. It was fetid and stank, but was so cold it left goosebumps on my skin. I couldn't stop myself gagging, my whole body recoiling as she rested her head close to mine and started running her greasy fingers through my hair. It was then I realized something I hadn't before. She was crying. The only word she said, coughed and sputtered in a raspy whisper, was when she told me. It would have been so good. And then she sat up, looked around, and left, carrying herself so fast, I couldn't quite imagine how. By the time I sat up, she was slithering out of the nearest window. The last I ever saw of her was a fleeting glimpse of her grabbing the baggie I'd thrown into the garden before frolicking into the darkness. "No cat," my sister said behind me, and I jumped so badly I scared her and she started crying. That was enough for me, and I was soon bawling my eyes out all the same. When my mother got home, I struggled to tell her what had happened, settling in the end to just say that someone had tried breaking into the house. It was enough for her to understand why I might be so traumatized, but it wasn't close to the truth. I threw those clothes away, disgusted by the smells and stains she'd left on them. Even now, I'm not sure what her intention was. I don't even know if it was a real person or something different. I only tried looking for more information once, searching again for that old copypasta, finding the odd variant, but the story scared me, especially the version that came with a picture of a bloody drawing stuck to a fridge showing a happy family holding hands, all drawn in crayon, and then, amended to the end like an extra limb, was a strange looking princess with a very large head. In the corner, it was dated 1981, and it made my skin crawl to imagine. There are more missing families out there than I ever realized. Just how many of them are related to her, I don't actually know. But I do know, there was one more yesterday, a few miles north of here. This time, I caught the article before it was taken down. Though it was incredibly sparse on information, it did show one thing. A tattered Bloom Dolls box, and beside it, a little baggie with a few tiny bones. The one I'd thrown out just a few days before.
Raus aus der Schule, rein ins Berufsleben. Bist du bereit für eine Hammer-Ausbildung oder ein duales Studium? Dann komm zu Straßen-NRW und gestalte die Mobilität von morgen. Gemeinsam mit unserem tollen Team sorgst du dafür, dass Millionen Menschen sicher ans Ziel kommen. Ob Technik, IT, Verwaltung oder Baustelle, bei Straßen-NRW kannst du in unterschiedlichen Bereichen ins Berufsleben starten. Also, worauf wartest du noch? Bewirb dich jetzt bei Straßen-NRW unter straßen.nrw.de/karriere. Wir machen Straßen fürs Leben.
Ich bin Charissa und meine Empfehlung an alle Entrepreneure, startet mit Shopify erfolgreich durch. Ich verwende Shopify schon seit dem ersten Tag und die Plattform macht mir nie Probleme. Ich habe viele Probleme, aber die Plattform ist nie eins davon. Ich habe das Gefühl, dass Shopify ihre Plattform kontinuierlich optimiert. Alles ist super einfach, integrier und verlinkbar. Und die Zeit und das Geld, das ich dadurch spare, kann ich anderweitig investieren. Vor allem in Wachstum.
Jetzt kostenlos testen auf shopify.de.